Will you join me as I pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing and privilege of gathering together to worship you. Open our hearts to you this morning. Speak to us through your word. Encourage us by your spirit and strengthen us to be and do all that you call us to. In the name of Jesus, amen. I wonder how many people had the opportunity to listen to Jason last week talking about loving God with all our strength. He asked the questions, what is love? And then, how do we love God with all our strength? And finally, how do we love God? He talked about a connection that goes beyond feelings and emotions. A commitment of our whole being, everything that's inside of us, our physical strength, and everything that we have available to us, our resources. And one of the things that he mentioned that particularly resonated with me was that loving God with all our strength was not so much about being busy for God, but living with focus and intentionality, using everything that we have at our disposal to honour and serve him in our lives. I hope I got that right, Jason. So I actually feel that this week's sermon is part B of loving God with all your strength. If being a faithful follower of Jesus is summed up in these two commandments, to love God with all that I am and all that I have, and to love others as myself, then what does that look like? To do with all my strength. So, all my might, all my talents, all my skills, my wealth, my resources, all that I have available for me to use. How does it influence the way that I love others? You've probably heard the saying, to go the extra mile. When someone goes the extra mile, we understand it to mean that they're willing to make a special effort to do or to achieve something. You may be surprised to know that the origin of the saying is actually from the teaching of Jesus. In Matthew 5, from verse 38, Jesus gives a very big challenge to his audience about what it looks like. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to anyone who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If someone wants to sue you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. And should someone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow." In Roman times, when Jesus lived, the Roman soldiers could legally compel citizens to carry their pack for up to 1 mile, by force if necessary. It was a law that the Jewish people hated, and they responded grudgingly at best. Jesus' challenge to his followers was that they should not only carry the pack without resistance for 1 mile, but to go for 2 miles, to go the extra mile, in fact. In this whole passage, Jesus implies that there are two ways of doing things. You can do the bare minimum, or you can do what you're asked to do and then willingly offer to do even more. Further on in the passage, Jesus takes the challenge even further when he encourages his followers to not only love their neighbours, as the law commanded, but to love their enemies as well. That is certainly going above and beyond the call of duty, which is perhaps precisely his point. It's when we go this extra mile, Jesus tells us, that we show that we are children of our Heavenly Father, in verse 44, and different from everyone else, in verse 47. Jesus himself exemplified this teaching in his own life. In every sense, he went the extra mile. He did what the Father asked of him. He left heaven, became like us, and walked on earth as one of us. But he didn't stop there. He went the second mile, all the way to the cross, to bear our sins, to give us the opportunity to live in him and to live for him. You can't tell me that kind of love doesn't require strength. That kind of love is not a feeling or an emotion, as Jason talked about last week. It's preeminently an act of our will, a choice that we make to seek the well-being, the good of another person who may live differently to us, or believe differently to us, or act differently to us, or who even may be our enemy. So why? Why do we go the extra mile? I wonder if there aren't some of you who might just be taking a mental step backwards at this point, who might be considering this command with just a bit of trepidation or hesitation. I mean, we all know the Beatles song, and they made it sound so easy. All you need is love, da 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 da. But the truth is, whilst love might be all we need, the act of loving takes work and time and energy and effort. So why? Why love this way? Why go the extra mile? Well, perhaps the Apostle John said it best in his letter, the first book of John. We love because he first loved us. Earlier in that same chapter, John also reminds us that since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. When we practice the love that Jesus taught, the love that he lived, when we choose to go that extra mile, not out of duty or obligation or expectation, it is an expression of the love that we ourselves have received from our Heavenly Father, who loved us and who loves us regardless of our response to him. We love because we are loved. We have the strength to love because it's God's love that lives in us. And we have the heart to love because it's God's love that is the source of our love and the love that we give. So, what does going the extra mile look like? And this is where we get to our passage for today. The Apostle Paul gives us an insight into what this looked like for him in the passage that was read earlier from the letter to the church in Corinth. I'm going to read the passage again, but I'm going to read it from the Message version. Even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living moralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. In this passage, Paul is keen to communicate two things to his readers: his aim and his strategy. His aim is clearly stated: to lead those I meet to a God-saved life. In the NIV version, which was read during the service, it's possibly even clearer. He says, I want to win as many as possible. I want to win the Jews. I want to win those under the law. I want to win those not having the law, to win the weak. I became all things to all people in order that I might save some. Paul's absolute desire is to see people won over for the gospel, to share with them about the saving grace that rescues from sin and gives them the hope of eternal life. His own experience of salvation and grace leads him to reach out to whoever he can in whatever way he can. Which leads us to his strategy. How does he aim to win people over for Jesus? I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all to reach a wide range of people. I've become just about any servant there is. Paul's strategy was to use the freedom that he had in Christ to become a servant. Just as Jesus divested himself of his heavenly glory and became one of us in order to bring us salvation, Paul was willing to set aside any claim that he had to freedom to live and act in ways different to how he normally would in order to connect with people around him. He chose a life of service, engaging with people in their cultures and traditions and communities wherever and whenever he could, so that he had the opportunity to share the gospel with them and lead them to a God-saved life. Just like the Jesus he served, Paul chose a life of going the extra mile. So how do we go the extra mile? First, let me just share some thoughts from Jesus with you. In Mark's gospel, he tells us, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." To his disciples, during the last meal they shared together, he said, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you, and that you should do as I have done for you." And a bit later on, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And Paul encouraged us with Jesus' own example. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness." Jesus calls us to a life that follows his example of servanthood, that's willing to set aside what's due to us as a saved member of his kingdom and step into the world of those around us in exactly the same way that he did for us because of his love for us. As Jesus loved us, we are to love others. And in this way, everyone knows that we are his disciples. Living a life of love for God, for others, is what it means to go the extra mile. So practically, this can happen in so many ways. You could transplant yourself into another country to serve as a missionary or Bible translator. Or you could introduce yourself to your neighbour down the street and invite them over for a cuppa. You could get involved in a refugee support work or join the local community garden. You could stand for representation in government, or you could be a member of the local netball team. It really leads me back to the question that I began with. If being a faithful follower of Jesus is summed up in these two commandments, to love God with all I am and all that I have, and to love others as myself, then what does it look like to do that with all my strength, all my might, all my talents, my skills, my time, my wealth, my resources, everything that God has given me that I can use? How does that influence the way that I love others? And the answer for each of us is as individual as we are, because it's a question we all need to ask of ourselves and of God. How can I use all that I am and all that I have available to me to love God and to love others? Before we look at the question a little more specifically, I'd like to share a couple of stories of what this could look like from our own experience of finding ways to live this out in our lives. A second personal example we'd like to share is from our time of living in Darlington, and I do apologise to those of you who have heard me tell this story before. In January 2020, we moved from Mount Helena to Oxley Road in Darlington. It was a really busy time for us. I had just finished 6 weeks of radiotherapy and was slowly recovering. Both Rob and I were in a very busy period at work, and we were also helping our daughter prepare for her wedding in March. Just as we drew breath from all of that, COVID hit and the whole world went into lockdown. We had intended to introduce ourselves to our neighbours when we first moved in, but in the busyness of those first few months, it just hadn't been a priority. And I remember commenting to Rob that I wasn't sure how on earth we were going to meet our neighbours now that everybody was locked down. From when God first opened the door for us to move to Darlington, Rob and I had begun to pray for our new neighbourhood. And after our move, on our daily walks with the dog, we had started praying more specifically for each house in the street, that God would bless them and give us an opportunity to meet them and be an influence in that neighbourhood. So when Parky Care introduced the care cards to offer help to neighbours, it was the perfect way for us to introduce ourselves to the neighbourhood. We filled out the card with how we could provide assistance, and then on the back we wrote a personal note to each house in the street saying hi and how we were looking forward to getting to know them once COVID restrictions had lifted. From that simple beginning, we connected with about half a dozen households in the street. There's 20 houses in that street. We followed it up with an invitation for people to join us on the Dawn Driveway service for Anzac Day, and delivered Anzac biscuits to every letterbox in the street to commemorate the day. We discovered some couple with young kids, so we went through our bookshelf and cleaned up some storybooks and delivered them down to them so that they had something a bit different to look at in that period of time. And we swapped gardening tips with other people as they were wandering up and down the street when we were gardening. Once restrictions lifted, we hosted a street sundowner and finally met our neighbours face to face. We even had some folk come who weren't from our street, from some of the neighbouring streets, who heard about it and invited themselves along. Together with one of the neighbours, we planned a neighbourhood Christmas lunch in the cul-de-sac at Oxley Place. And then we became the local bushfire ready street coordinators as a way of continuing the connection and building that community in the street to help in the summer bushfire season. All of this gave us an opportunity to get to know most of the households in our street and many others throughout the neighbourhood. From there, we've had people over for meals, or we've had regular catch-ups with people for cups of tea or the odd beer after a day in the garden. And our prayer through all of this was that we would be people of hope and love and have opportunities to point people to the source of that hope in Jesus. We have several significant relationships that we will continue even though we've now moved to our own home in Glen Forest. I share these stories because it is easy to be daunted by the call to love our neighbours, to go the extra mile. And I want to encourage you to reflect on the amazing and life-saving love that you have received from your Heavenly Father and be inspired to seek ways to share that same love and hope with those around you. This is not about adding into our already busy lives. This is actually about stepping back and making the choice to live more intentionally with the life that God has given us. To look at who we are and all that He's blessed us with, and see how we can use that to love others as He called us to offer it all up to God and ask Him how He wants us to use it. So to help you do this, I've created a bookmark, and hopefully you will have found these on every second seat. And I have plenty more if you didn't get one. These questions are not prescriptive. They're just to help direct your thinking. If you can answer the first two questions, then feel free to go to the last question. Or answer the questions that resonate most deeply with you and leave the others. It isn't about adding into what we already do, but seeking how we can focus our lives to follow Jesus' example of loving others. So on the front of the sheet, the questions are, who do I know already who doesn't know or follow Jesus? Maybe you already have some of those relationships. How can I build or strengthen or deepen those relationships that are already in place? If you don't, like Rob, you could think, what's an interest or a hobby or an activity that I am doing or maybe I would like to do that would help me connect with like-minded people? Or, if that's not really up your alley, what are some community celebrations or activities that I can consider that will help you connect with people who don't know Jesus? Think about what time do I actually have reserved for personal connection with people? Family, friends, neighbours, workmates. And if I don't really have that, where can I create that space to help me pursue one of these opportunities? And finally, what's one thing I can do this week to begin to go that extra mile? On the back of the bookmark is a simple tool to help you connect with people in your worlds in ways that would point them to Jesus. It's the Law of Fives or the Prayer of Fives. Five people, 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 weeks. So basically, once you start connecting with people, see if you can find five people in your life who don't know Jesus. If you don't have five, then maybe it's three. But choose those people who don't know Jesus. Pray for them for 5 minutes, for 5 days a week, over 5 weeks, asking God to bless them. You can use the Bless Prayer, which I've written here, as a way of doing that. So on Monday, you might pray for their body, for their health, their well-being, their protection and their strength. On Tuesday, you might pray for their labour, the work that they do, the reward that they get, their security and their, or God's provision for them. On Wednesday, for their emotional well-being, for joy and peace and hope to be in their life. On Thursday, you might pray for their social connections, their marriages, families, relationships, their friendship circles, the support networks that they're in. And on Friday, for their spiritual well-being, for their salvation, for God to reveal Himself, for faith, for grace. It's a simple tool of just praying blessing into their life. After 5 weeks, you might want to reassess and see what God has opened up in that time. He may lead you to keep praying. He may bring other people for you to pray for in that time. Before I close, I'd just like us to take a few moments. In these few moments, You might like to read through the questions again on the bookmark. Maybe you can already think of some answers to some of those questions. Or maybe you already know some people that you could connect with. Or you might just like to use those few minutes to sit in prayer, to come before God right now with what's on your mind and ask Him to guide you in this space. I'd like to close by praying for us all. Lord Jesus, thank you for your amazing love for us and the example you give us of going the extra mile in love. May it inspire us to love as you did and as you do. We want to have your servant heart. Teach us to love those around us, our families, our neighbours, our co-workers, our friends, and to demonstrate that love through our actions, our deeds, and our words. And Lord Jesus, when our actions reflect your love and grace, may the world see you through us and reach out for your God-saving love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.